We now proceed with part four of Mr. Witherby's piece on acting in fellowship in matters of discipline. As I said in earlier sessions, discipline can be very complex and yet very searching on one's own individual heart as well as the collective heart of the assembly. As he's been laying out the fact that is it our honor that we are trying to maintain or is it the Lord's honor that we're seeking to strive to maintain on this earth? And so with that, let's proceed to part four in the section, and has been said before, the links to the full text are down below, as well as the prior parts read as well. Part four, practical fellowship, one-mindedness, gained in the presence of God as to discipline, resulting in the action of local assemblies, is not so common as it should be. And we would not shrink from putting this assertion in the form of responsibility. For we should be more together in prayer and in reading the scriptures as to the principles of discipline arising in the given local assembly of which we may form part. It is easier to conquer a country than to govern it. It is not sufficient that is given number of men have been separated from the religious systems to which they once adhered, and that they are vanquished by the truth into taking the ground of expression of the unity of the Spirit. It is also necessary that each and all of them should live under the rule and guidance of the Word and the Lord. In former days, these truths related to the Church of God had to be one. Now men come into a state of things where these truths are accepted. But where this and that is taken for granted as known, it is seldom really learned, for the conscience is not then in exercise. The great question for our souls when any matter arises in a local assembly is, what saith the Scriptures? We are in a low state of conscience as to God if to get the answer we are content to inquire, what does person A or person B say? There will be a seemliness in the younger men as to taking part in deliberation on questions of discipline, but the consciences of all should be an exercise. And it is a sorrowful day for an assembly when its leaders, instead of waiting on the consciences of their brethren, take the law into their own hands and without consultation thrust their sentence upon the assembly. This is ministerialism and neglect of the consciences of others, and under whatever name it may pass muster, it is certainly not acting in fellowship as guided by the Spirit. That which may be termed the collective conscience of the assembly ought first to be considered, and as there should be a common judgment, so there should be every given assembly such oneness of conscience that it is not visionary to speak of it in its God-fearing character as having a common conscience. And if one assembly be thus before God in the light, so may two be, or any number. Unless an assembly as such is in the presence of God and subject to his word, what may be termed its consciences is an unsatisfactory state. We cannot hurry a man's conscience. And there may be godly men of want of knowledge of the Scriptures, which accounts for their indecision. We not unfrequently find an assembly utterly perplexed by a question of discipline. Through some composing, it may have consciousness of difficulties as to an action desired by others. What is to unite the consciences of all is such a case? That which alone can bind them, the authority of God's word. If a man have a conscience about a day or meats, we are to respect his conscience. Romans 14. Though he may be weak in the faith, surely too we would respect the conscience of an assembly, if in to be weak in the faith, and should seek patience to walk in grace and unity with it. However, it is not the belief of an assembly that has been guided by the Holy Ghost, but its obedience to the Word of God, which is real power, and which must eventually bind the consciences of other assemblies. An assembly may transgress, as an individual may, in announcing that it has been guided by God the Holy Ghost, but it is a far more serious evil for an assembly to do this than in private. If an assembly be weak and a case too hard for it before it, or if the assembly be divided in its judgment, then counsel is frequently sought from, quote, a brother or, quote, brothers of another assembly. And it is most simple that a brother having wisdom or being disinterested should impart what God has given him to others. But a very careful distinction must be jealously maintained between counsel being graciously given and consciences being overridden. A brother not of the local assembly where the question perplexes is under the advantage of coming to the subject dispassionately. He is also under the disadvantage of hearing one side of the subject from those with whom he may at first immediately be in contact. But woe to the brother who speaks to settle things in his own wisdom. However wise he may be, or in his own might, however strong he may be. For if the collective conscience of the local assembly be not considered, God is ignored. Where a brother goes to a local assembly with self-invested power and imagined inward ability to set things right, his mission will end in sorrow. He defies men's consciences on the one hand and the Spirit's action on the other. Even the apostle first acted upon the conscience of the saints at Corinth, though using his apostolic power to set things right among them, while in our days of no apostolic power and of professed weakness, the principle of endeavoring to thrust a line of action, which perhaps may be wrong and not apostolic in wisdom, upon an assembly is simply contradictory to what we accept to be the principles of the Scriptures. No wonder, then, that where such things are done or attempted, the results are so miserable. And such must also be the state of the assembly, which, when evil is before it, it is content idly to let consciences sleep and ministerialism manage its affairs. Ministerialism ends in division. Let the evil be faced in the presence of God, and if there be not oneness of judgment, let prayer be made, and if all are honest, God will give oneness of judgment. There is but one Spirit, and where all are simple-hearted, the one Spirit will give oneness of mind, and then will ensue acting in fellowship. The great consideration must ever be set, the conscience of a sluggish assembly in action. If an assembly will not deal with evil, it loses its character as an assembly of God, but usually there will be found a large proportion of honest men in each assembly, though some may be sleepy and others ignorant, hence patience is needed. When one local assembly tries to take up the affairs of another local assembly, the result is confusion, for God does not own such interference. It is much the same as an individual brother coming to set things right in assembly on a larger scale. Matters are made worse, for the vital principle that the assembly itself must act before God is ignored. It surely is right to appeal to a hesitating assembly to act, thus stirring up to enter God's presence, but for another assembly or for an individual to lay down the law is simply ignoring the state that the assembly should be in before God, and is taking the question out of God's hands. Patience also is necessary, for as a rule, the judgment of an assembly upon any kind of evil is but an expression of the moral state of the assembly. There are, for example, bodies of Christians who look very lightly upon doctrines which are really subversive of the very honor of Christ. Why is this? Because their members generally are indifferent to the evil of the doctrines. Every few years we hear of secessions from organized Christian bodies because some Christian man or other cannot tolerate an evil thing to which the body which he is a member is indifferent. But the mass goes on as before, and we find also a gradual leavening process going on in the mass, and thus Christians generally becoming painfully more and more indifferent as to the most grievous of doctrines being taught by the members of their denominations. So when an evil doctrine of a covered kind expresses itself in a local assembly, we seldom find that everyone on the first perceives its gravity. And this shows what the low state of the local assembly is and indicates that each unit is not alive in the importance of the evil which is manifested.